You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite lorecast on the Citadel.
Welcome to the Mass Effect Lorecast, the podcast where we explore the vast lore behind the Mass Effect games. Spectres, welcome back to the Mass Effect Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, or Robots. I'm here with N7 the Legend, and N7, we have to make an apology for goofing on, I mean, it's mostly my fault, I'll take the blame, for goofing on the quiz show last week, because the Reapers, they're the ones who made the Citadel.
Yes.
And the Mass Effect things, the word fell out of my brain.
The mass relays.
Relays. That's the word.
Yeah, and unless you were staying in character in universe, where most people do think it was the Protheans.
Right. Right. And that was the goof, is that I double checked it and I was like, but this is like the first few things that came up was like, oh, it's the Protheans, and I'm like, there's this feeling I had of like, it sounds, I guess that's right. Yeah, that's fine. And so I just went with it, and sure enough, it's wrong. And I should have known, because we've talked about it before. But anyway, thank you for those of you who have pointed out the mistake kindly and with nice words, because the internet is not always a kind place.
Actually.
I don't mind the well actuallys. What I do mind is the, you dumbass, how would you possibly get that wrong, right? And it's like, we're all human. Come on.
Get good, you fake news media. Get out of here. This guy doesn't even Mass Effect.
Yeah. What's he even doing?
After 110 episodes.
110 episodes.
That we think that we would actually have earned the title of having Mass Effected before.
Having Mass Effected, yeah. But, yeah. You know, people want to be smart and point things out and be like, well, you clearly didn't play the game because you didn't see this thing that I saw on my 7th playthrough. And it's like, well, okay, I didn't do 7 playthroughs. Sorry. You know? But anyway. Well,
part of the blame is on me, because I was you sent those questions to me to read through and fact check, and I was like sick and I wasn't feeling that well, and I was kind of like half-assing it and just blazing through it.
We
and
both
I
dropped
it,
the ball.
So,
yeah, it's no big deal though. We still had a fun time. I don't think it affected who won the game anyway, and it wasn't like there was, you know, like $1,000 prize or something. Like, it was all just for bragging rights. So it all worked out. But this week we're back to another character episode, and Sam, I know you like to do some of the intros on these because you've got your quirky way of saying stuff. What are we talking about?
We covered cybernetics technology, all about genetic engineering in the Mass Effect universe, right? So now it's time to talk about the woman who was created from it, the sultry superior of the Lazarus cell, the overtly perfect, tragically privileged covert professional, the overconfident operative with outrageously skin-tight outerwear, the origin of the gratuitous butt shot, Mass Effect, Miranda Lawson.
Oh, man. I would love to hear you say that like 10 times fast. You know, that's
okay. Yeah.
That's tongue tangling.
The
soldier
spirit of the Lazarus cell, the overtly perfect, tragically privileged covert professional, the overconfident operative with the outrageously skin tight outerwear, the origin of the gratuitous butt shot in Mass Effect, Miranda Lawson.
9 more times.
That's the episode.
That's it.
That's the whole thing.
All right. So, so this is a character we meet right away in Mass Effect 2. But she's got the kind of this mysterious backstory. We've talked a little bit about her before. I probably don't know all the details. What do we know?
So the very basic, you know, she's genetically engineered from her very wealthy father who wanted a perfect child. So she doesn't really have a mother. It was only DNA from her dad.
So she's like Jesus, sort of.
Reverse Cerberus Jesus.
Reverse, yeah.
I mean,
Jesus?
Kind of the poster child for Cerberus. And yeah, when she joined Cerberus, I'm sure the elusive man had a bitch fit about how amazed he was that this genetically perfect human being would be the poster child. But that is what we find out from her during the games. There's a ton of information before the games, so much so that we're going to dedicate this whole episode and probably another one toward answering that question of how much we know about her backstory from before the games. I was surprised just how many comics and external media pieces Miranda is mentioned in. You want to take a stab at the number of comics, number of, you know,
yes,
other games?
Yes.
Total.
2, 9.
Oh,
it was a big number.
It's 9. And maybe I glossed over it because I was never a huge fan of hers. Maybe I just didn't see it because I'm only getting into the comics like in the past year. Mm-hmm. But, you know, 8 comics and 1 previous game besides the OT. Let's dive into it.
Yeah. OK, so let's go back to the beginning. What's the earliest we see her in the timeline of events as we know it?
So this is interesting. She's in the number of Mass Effect Foundation comics, which are a series of origin stories for different characters normally, but they're also kind of a bridge between the 2 years where Shepard's dead. And they all take place before Mass Effect 2 really begins, but not really, because there's this 2-year gap in the prologue of the beginning of the game. Very beginning of the game, we see Miranda talking with the elusive man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're talking about how great Shepard is as an asset to all of humanity. Not humanity, humanity.
Humanity.
Like Martin Sheen does.
Right, right.
And during this 2-year gap, there's like a ton of Mass Effect lore that a lot of really well-seasoned players have no idea about.
Yeah.
Unless you've read the comics, unless you're all about this OS game that came out called Mass Effect Galaxy, you probably don't know this. So there's this game, Mass Effect Galaxy. It came out on OS. It was, you know, admittedly pretty fucking bad. And it took place during the 2 years. I didn't play this game. I know the following plot lines because I have seen gameplay on it.
Right, right. You looked it
up.
So
we're gonna be diving into the lore from this game and exactly what happens in it. But it looks like a la Doom when the original Doom came out,
uh-huh,
like those kind of graphics, but yeah, it's overhead.
Okay, so it's like top down, like,
yeah, top down, moving through rooms,
sprites?
Shooting, turning, and yeah,
that's what they were called, like when they were just like the 2D sprites.
Yes,
yeah,
yes, it's kind of like that. So it's essentially the same story treatment that James Vega gets if you've seen the anime movie Paragon Lost. But this one centers on Jacob and his recruitment to Cerberus and a pretty heroic action he undertakes to save the Citadel Council. Miranda meets him because she's an informant who had been corresponding with Jacob's old commanding officer from his days in the Alliance. And he runs into his CO on the Citadel. Since he's no longer in, he asks his CO for the CEO rather asks him for his help in this kind of black ops type mission that is kind of off the record, but not really off the record, you know, just clandestine enough to be intriguing. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly well written out. And if, by the way, for the rest of this explanation of this Mass Effect Galaxy game, if someone's listening and they're like, well, I can see, I can poke holes in that plot. Yeah, you probably can because it's an OS game and a lot of these things weren't well explained in depth or well written, because I think I watched the entire game. It was like less than an hour.
Yeah, they probably spent 5 minutes on the plot line and they were like, good enough, stamp it.
I think so. So anyway, this commanding officer asks for his help on this black ops mission to defeat this Batarian crime spree. And then Jacob meets Miranda at a bar, who he's instructed to meet because she has the info. And it's this bar on this planet in the Nemean Abyss Nebula. By the time Jacob gets there, pirates have already overrun the bar. And then Jacob has to resolve the ordeal either through like a speech check or through combat. And in true Miranda fashion, she, after the combat or after the speech check, she's just, you know, casually lounging there at the bar, watching all of this unfold. And Jacob, you know, is like covered in blood and grime. And she's just sipping on her drink like, I was waiting.
Yeah. Well, I mean, part sounds accurate to her character, right? Just kind of chilling there with a drink while all this stuff happens and just kind of taking it in.
Yeah, she's very femme fatale, which is exactly how the art team and the developers meant for her to be. You know, she's kind of, especially in this game and in some of the comics, she's very much the woman in James Bond films who never loses her cool, always looks very, you know, beautiful and yada yada yada.
Right, the counterpart to Bond, like the female counterpart who's
Yeah, although admittedly, she is certainly more capable than some of the women in Bond films have been.
Sure.
Especially if you go back to like, you know, blanking on the
60s.
Name.
Are we talking?
Yes.
Are we talking
Sean Connery? Sean,
yeah.
Yes.
Sean Connery.
Yes, that's not what your mother said last night, Trebek.
I'll take anal bum covers for $1,000.
Some SNL references for everyone. It was SNL, right?
Jeopardy on Saturday Night Live. Yeah, classic.
So Miranda, I'd pay to hear Miranda with a Sean Connery voice, but that'd be great. But she tells Jacob that she learns of this extremist wing of Batarian plans to sabotage upcoming peace talks between the Batarians and the Council. And they would do this by assassinating their own ambassador when he visits the Citadel. At this point, Miranda's already a Cerberus operative, and so she refers Jacob to some of her sources she's met, presumably through that work. That's not explained. So she gives him 3 leads, who it's like each of those is a mission unto itself. And you can clearly see where the storyline is going at this point. Mm-hmm. And those missions constitute a majority of the actual gameplay. But we'll cover the intricate details of this game's plot in a later episode. But for Miranda's purposes, she doesn't really appear a lot during those missions. So we'll just go along where she appears. So she helps Jacob along in his mission to track down these extremists and foil their plot. We learn along the way that their plot is actually to assassinate the council themselves, not their own ambassador.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, dun, dun, dun. And they're going to do it through this genetically engineered bio agent called a blood plague.
But she works for Cerberus at this point, right? And so why is she going out of her way to help save the council? I mean, it seems very heroic, like for somebody who probably doesn't care a lot about aliens, she's focused on humans, right? Like
it does. And I'm not surprised that Jacob signs up for this, right? Because it's very ambiguous whether or not he's still in the Alliance at the very beginning of this game or whether he has recently left. And it's ambiguous because of where the next comic with both of them picks up, as well as just it being vague and how it's explained. But mm-hmm. I think we're led to believe that Jacob has either recently left the Alliance or is about to. And so I'm not surprised that Jacob, as principled as he is, signs up to save the council, even though he doesn't realize it's about the council at first. But Miranda, yeah, I'm kind of surprised about this because in this game, she seems a lot softer, a lot less cold, and a lot more virtuous.
Yeah.
Than she does, a lot less hard and pragmatic than she does in the game in Mass Effect 2. So that part is not explained. You know, it's just, I don't have any lore to tell people about that.
Yeah.
I wish I did.
It just is. It is a thing. And maybe, I mean, you could chalk it up to, well, Cerberus needed the council for some other thing they were doing, or, you know, like, I'm sure you come up with some explanation, but it's not laid out.
It's not. Ultimately, Jacob stops the assassination in progress. Who could have guessed? And he saves the council. And it becomes a little more on the nose that there actually could be more to Jacob and Miranda's working relationship than meets the eye.
They have, like, they're a thing?
There's certainly romantic undertones to some of their interactions. And we have... I have screenshots from this OS game when I was watching it.
I just pulled one up. The Miranda hologram says, do what you need to and get the hell out as soon as you can. That's an order, Taylor. Miranda out.
So, yeah. So right at one point in the game, Miranda's very worried about Jacob's welfare and tells him to take a breather. It's not safe for you to be there. Get the hell out as soon as you can, et cetera, et cetera. It's much more concern than she ever voiced for Shepard's welfare, even a male one that she romances, aside from like the lovey-dovey specific conversations. So this one is like kind of surprising that Jacob, who she has just met, she is so... you know, like concerned for his welfare. He had, for context, he had just been exposed to a very, very high amount of unstable Ezo.
Okay.
It was messing with his biotics.
Right.
Ultimately, the game finds a way to use that as justification for upgrading your biotic attack.
Right.
But the game, he had like headaches and things like that.
Yeah. That's why I get headaches too.
We're biotics. Yeah. That's why.
That's why.
We have the L2 implants. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got lucky. Like Caden did. Could have been worse. But yeah, like, so I was just kind of surprised at that. I was like, huh, you know, that is kind of weird because she's usually this ice queen, you know, and now she is apparently showing a soft spot. I don't know. Maybe chalk it up to bad writing, you know. And then I'm like,
A lot of this feels like the people who wrote for this game just either didn't do their homework or didn't know enough about the other games and the, you know, the actual lore, the more canon stuff, right? That's kind of what this feels like.
And when I was watching through this, when I got to that point, at that point, I'm there with you. Like, I totally get it. But later, after Jacob, who is the player character and the hero of the game, saves the council, Miranda's like, you did it. And he asks, where do we go from here? And so I have another screenshot.
Yeah, I have it up.
Jacob,
and she responds, I have a couple of ideas.
Right? Like,
yeah.
And then the next line she says after that is, and you're going to like it. And it's like, okay, that's supposed to be titillating, right?
Right,
that,
right.
That's but is, supposed
are,
to be
are
suggested.
We, are we chalking this up to a relationship, or is this just her being flirty, confident, sexy lady?
Right.
Yeah, like.
So maybe she's just flirting around with Jacob, but she wasn't like flirty at all in the games unless she actually wanted to romance you. Like I said, she's an ice queen.
Right, it does feel different, yeah.
So again, maybe that's just the writing, and I'm still getting more of this picture that she is interested in Jacob, but, you know, I'm willing to suspend this disbelief. So then, anyway, after, you know, Jacob saves the day and everything and whatnot, he goes back to his vacation that he was on at the very beginning of the game before he was so rudely interrupted to try and save the day, except he's interrupted again. And right. we have a gameplay clip.
Yeah, so I'm going to go ahead and I'm pulling it up right now. This is the clip.
Thank you. CSEC has apprehended Jath Amon and his accomplices, and all affected by the Batarian attack have been vaccinated. All citizens aboard the Citadel can breathe a sigh of relief.
Okay, so there's no dialogue at this point, but Miranda, the door slides open. Jacob's very, like, you know, surprised, and he grabs his rifle thinking he might get attacked, but it's Miranda, and she's got a bottle of champagne in her hands.
She's like, party time, buddy.
And it's party time, and she's in his private quarters, and then the door slides closed, and the camera pans out, and you hear this romantic kind of dramatic music. It's actually, I think, the same music that plays at the end of Mass Effect 1 as crew members are searching desperately for Shepard's body in the rubble, and then Shepard makes this dramatic, ah, I'm alive. But that is what that scene is like. So you're like, oh, you know what? You know, this did the classic exterior pan fade to black. They totally did it. But did they?
Right.
You know,
right. Right.
So
she was hiding a gun in the wine.
Right. It wasn't Miranda all along.
Dun, dun,
it was Mystique.
The X-Men show up. X-Men Mass Effect crossover.
Exactly. So, you know, no, I think it's meant to be suggestive. What, and it's clearly nighttime out too. Well, it's also it's
well,
space.
They're in space.
I'm stupid. What am I talking about?
It goes out.
Jesus.
So it pans out.
What is she doing?
It pans out up through the skylight window above them, and then you see the ship. But yes, it looks nighttime because it's space.
I have had a long week. I don't know if you can tell. Yes, it looks like it's nighttime because the
stars.
Point is for cinematics, and it's a good point, but the point is for cinematics and like ambient setting. Like,
oh yeah,
Jacob also has the lights off in
right
his
it's
room.
It's dark. It like that's the feeling, is he's sitting in front of like a screen that's glowing on him. It's dark enough to be glowing on him that like it feels like an evening setting,
which felt kind of depressing in the first place, because like here's this hero, right, and then he goes back on this vacation that he's supposed to be on this luxury cruise liner. But there's no light coming in through the window because they're in space, and he has all the lights off, and he's only illuminated by the blue like hum of his television
right.
that is telling him about
right.
the news.
He's not sitting in like the spa or something. He's sitting there by himself in his room watching the news on vacation.
Brooding.
Right. Yeah.
Brooding. And it's this sad, like he may as well have been in his underwear with like a white t-shirt stained with like fucking fry grease and ketchup.
Right.
And mustard.
Eating like a big old bowl of ice cream. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks sad. And then the door slides open and it's Miranda and he's like, oh,
right.
I'm the hero and things just happen to me. but, you know, it's very classic, and it's so suggestive of what happens. And then given how Jacob talks to Shepard about her in Mass Effect 2, he can mention things that would seem to indicate that they had something going on, but the extent of which we don't know about. Especially, he says something along the lines of, she needed a better man than I.
Okay. All right.
I don't think you'd say that about someone that there wasn't even a chance with,
right.
you know?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It sounds like there was something there.
I wish we could say that we learned more about Miranda specifically from this iOS game. But her on-screen time is very limited, and of course, so is character development. And this is indeed the earliest part of the Mass Effect storyline. So in Mass Effect universe, in the storyline, this is the earliest that we actually see Miranda in a story. And it's basically Jacob's, Cerberus introduction, because he's not actually recruited to Cerberus during this time, but it's his origin story, too.
Right, right. So, being as this is an extremely popular iOS game, I wonder how many of our listeners have actually played this. I don't know. It just it does seem like she's a different character, or at least she's distinctly different at that point in time, and it gets colder as time goes by. I don't know.
Maybe she got cold because Jacob spurned her.
Maybe it's all Jacob's fault.
It's all Jacob's fault. No, I doubt it. She does seem like a different character. I never hear people talk about this game. And yeah, Miranda just has less of an edge in this one. And it could have just been a different writing team with their own interpretation of Miranda's character. But regardless, it is canon. This game is canon.
Yeah.
So and it's just the start of the stories that Miranda is involved in before the games.
Right. All right. Well, we've got more to talk about, though, because we've got some comic books to go over, and we're going to summarize the details in those. But first, we've got to go shout out our patrons. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Message coming in. Patching it through.
I am sovereign, and this station is mine. I like the sound of that.
All right, here we are. This is where we get to thank our patrons. No new patrons this week, but we do have our Shepherd tier patrons, Colkishins, Ed Boy, Kiracy, Lieutenant Tosino, That Spectre J, and William. Thank you so much for your support, and a big shout out to all 66 of our current patrons. If you are interested in helping to support the show, if we've helped you get through your workday or your commutes or just made your day better in any way, go to patreon.com/MassEffect and or Mass Effect Lorecast and check out all the different tiers. You can get a whole bunch of different stuff. Join us on future episodes, avoid ads, get episodes early, all sorts of fun things. So go check that out. Also, we've got some new reviews to read out, and some of these are international. Here, check these out, Sam. I think you're gonna have some thoughts on some of these. This one is from
intergalactic planetary.
This one is from Admiral Freya in Great Britain, who writes, I love this show. Hi, guys. I'm not a podcast person, but I've been watching your show for a couple months now on YouTube, and I am just about caught up. I'm writing this right after watching the Lazarus Project episode. I just wanted to say during the control chip discussion, I was thinking, do I remember wrong? As I thought, if you get friendly enough with Miranda in Mass Effect 2, she confesses the whole control chip thing to Shepard. Could be wrong, but anyway, great show you guys have got. I've had many a laugh, and as a lore seeker in the games, I love hearing N7 the Legend state what he knows and compare to my own knowledge and see if I missed anything. Robots makes me laugh so much. You guys inspire me to play yet another playthrough. Lost count between the original game runs and fresh starters I've had on Legendary Edition, but hey, it's Mass Effect and I love it. Keep the episodes coming. So what do you think about that?
Thank you, Admiral Freya, first of all. But second of all, you're right. Yes, Miranda does admit that to Shepard and later in this story. A number of people have brought that up to me, and I think maybe in the way that I phrased it, I had forgotten to say how we know the thing about the control chip thing. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, we can take things at face value when a character tells us that, but it's a different thing to see the actual records and primary sources that we find in Mass Effect 3.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, thanks, Admiral Freya. We appreciate it. And this one comes from DecideMate. I think I'm pronouncing that correctly, from Australia, who writes, easy listening, in-depth and entertaining, perfect way to stay in the universe of the trilogy while not being able to play. The hosts Robots and N7 are a great pair that complements each other's merits for a great podcast. Definitely two squad mates you'll want while ascending into the Mass Effect galactic lore. Lots of love from Australia. Well, hello from Australia. Thank you so much. And then this one from the United States, from Henry Nielsen, who writes, my go-to Mass Effect channel, always keeping a fresh take, fresh conversations going on for Mass Effect while we wait for the next game to come out. Thanks for what you all do. I listen to the show to relax at night and learn more about the Mass Effect universe. # Conrad Werner is my favorite character. I thought you'd appreciate that.
I don't know if that's a compliment to me, but I hope so.
But thank you, Henry, and to everybody else for taking the time to drop reviews. If you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we'll read it out on a future episode. Also, you can rate the show on Spotify or whatever other platforms have rating. And Spotify now has the ability for you to comment on the episodes. All the new episodes say things like, what did you think about this episode? So if you'd like to leave a kind comment on there and help us feel good about what we do, we'd appreciate it. But that's what we got for the middle of this episode. Let's move on with the rest of the show.
Spit it out, or are you trying to build suspense?
You're so dense, sir. Obviously, I do not know as much about human relationships as I thought.
So we're back, and we've got to talk about all of these other details, all these other stories, the comics. You said she was in a bunch of different stuff. How do we know what comes next? Like, where do we go from here?
That's right. She is in a bunch of different things. We do have to address one updated review, though, that we missed in the mid-break. It's another one from AJJSHD.
Okay.
And so this person has submitted a review before, a 5-star review before, but this one's updated. This one came through 2 days ago. And it's a 5-star one, and it says, this podcast is fantastic. This podcast is my favorite thing on the Citadel, favorites all caps, and on Earth. I'm about to finish my Mass Effect 3 playthrough Legendary Edition, and I'm getting emo, but this podcast is helping me make it through. So thank you, N7, the legend, and robots. P.S., is nobody going to point out how cute Sam is? Sheesh.
Oh, all right. I see why you had to read this revision.
I did. I had to stroke my own ego a little bit. Yeah. But
yeah. And how cute Tom is, too. Oh, look at that. It said how cute Tom is, too, in that weird voice.
Tom's handsome. That's the difference.
Oh, okay. So, that's it. It's because I'm old. I get it.
No, that's not the joke I was making.
So anyway, back to Miranda.
Back to someone better looking than both of us. Miranda.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm. I can agree to that.
So yeah, she's in a series of Mass Effect Foundation comics, but like I mentioned about the ways Mass Effect 2 opening works, the next timeline appearance of Miranda is actually this part from the prologue when we have a clip from it.
Shepard did everything right, more than we could have hoped for.
Commander Shepard uncovered the truth.
And still, it's not enough.
We're at war. No one wants to admit it, but humanity is under attack.
But they're sending him to fight Geth. Geth. We both know they're not the real threat. The Reapers are still out there.
And it's up to us to stop them.
The Council will never trust Cerberus. They'll never accept our help, even after everything humanity has accomplished. But Shepard, they'll follow him. He's a hero, a bloody icon. But he's just one man. If we lose Shepard, humanity might well follow.
Then see to it that we don't lose him.
All right. So what is the importance of this clip?
Then see to it that we don't lose him. That is a conversation that takes place between the elusive man and Miranda, but it's never dated. There's no date on it. Hmm. So it must take place before he dies, because obviously they say, then see to it we don't lose him or her, right, if you're playing a female Shepard.
Right, right.
So it's not dated. We don't know when it happens, but it must be sometime after the end of Mass Effect 1, because they're talking about Shepard having uncovered the truth of the Reapers. Yep. Well, so that's a very narrow gap. That's only a few months. And then the next time we see Miranda is kind of, that's right where the comics pick up. It's in Mass Effect Foundation number 5. Shepard has died. Mm-hmm. So the Normandy has...
Isn't that like in-between period?
Yeah, I mean, there's only like a time period difference of a couple months there. And Miranda's scene in Mass Effect Foundation number 5, where it's coincidentally a reunion between her and Jacob again. They'd gone their separate ways following the foiled assassination attempt from the Batarians in Mass Effect Galaxy, but the rebuilding effort after the Geth attack was still happening. and word had just reached the Citadel about the Normandy's disappearance. That's when Miranda approaches Jacob again in a bar and with a job. Mm-hmm. But he appears to be wearing Alliance colors again. He's wearing Alliance fatigues, which makes the writing of Mass Effect Galaxy somewhat inconsistent with this timeline where this comic picks up. But you know what? Whatever.
Right.
Well, like we said, Mass Effect Galaxy, I don't think was... continuity was not a huge issue for them. So here's a screenshot from this comic. And in it, you can see Miranda say to Jacob, you know, when we worked together last time, we made quite a splash.
Right.
So again, suggestive.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? They're just confirming it at this point.
But plausibly deniable, which sounds exactly like what Miranda, something Miranda would say.
Right. Oh, I just meant we worked well together. Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Right.
Very coy. Here's to the good old days then. That's what Jacob responds with. And then they clink glasses, they cheers. And Miranda says, I came here to offer you a job, Mr. Taylor. And then Jacob looks disinterested and he just says, oh yeah. And then she says, but I'm not sure you're up to the task. And he says, that makes two of us. So she starts walking away.
Then we get a crotch shot.
We get a crotch shot of Miranda.
Yeah.
A little odd, but whatever.
Right. They could have just framed the camera higher and seen her face, but that's not what happens here.
Right.
Yeah.
So she's walking away and she's saying, well, that's too bad. You could have made a real difference.
Yeah. I mean,
clearly reverse psychology going on, but right. And Jacob tries to resist, but he chases after her, which is symbolic, you know, and mm-hmm. he resists putting this moral stand against Cerberus, but Miranda explains that she needs him to help find Shepard. That's enough to convince Jacob to accept this job, and in doing so, leave the Alliance.
Yeah, you say the magic word Shepard, and everybody just all of a sudden does things.
And Jacob is very principled, and he has this great respect for Shepard, especially after hearing the news that Shepard is MIA.
Oh, there's also that, right.
And so that's why he wants to do this. Definitely. It's because of Shepard. And so there's, you know, we'll spare the intricate details about this comic because at some point we're going to dive into each comic and its own, you know, details and how each panel goes and things like that. But a brief, well, let's just do a brief synopsis, especially how it pertains to Miranda. She takes Jacob to this planet where Cerberus has intel that indicates some sources may know where Shepard is or where Shepard's body is. At this point, they don't have confirmed that Shepard's dead. It's this poverty-ridden planet in the Terminus systems, and humans clearly not welcome. It's like a slum-like city where they are, and everyone's quite poor. That's quite obvious. There's a lot of organized crime that you can tell. And so humans are not welcome, but Miranda tries to bribe her way through negotiations with Batarian sources. And surprise, surprise, they accept the money, but it doesn't work. They give her faulty intel. Jacob even asks, how did you know that that would work? How do you know they're not lying to you? Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, you know, it's a lot harder to deny the money when it's right in front of you. And she's so
so sure about
it. She's so like smug about it, but but it doesn't work. And they're led to this place that they're looking for by like an orphan, like a street urchin that they meet. And then on the way, they're ambushed by thugs. Ultimately, the thugs blow up their ship and Miranda is taken hostage in the process. Jacob is like knocked out and he doesn't know where Miranda went. He wakes up and then he learns that Miranda got taken hostage. And she's taken to this warehouse, which is essentially the central hub of what seems to be a human trafficking organization.
Sweet. Cool.
Yeah. So all of a sudden they're embroiled in something much larger. And while in captivity, Miranda learns that Shepard's body is no longer actually there on the planet because these Batarian pirates or slavers have sold it to a higher bidder than Cerberus.
Must be quite the cost for that, yeah.
Money bags over here. Who can outbid Cerberus? So she's also the stereotypical resistant prisoner during this whole ordeal, you know, threatening her captors with these snarky remarks, telling the big boss, you know, oh, you know, you don't even have the balls to kill me yourself, when he tells his thugs to dispose of her.
Right, right.
He accuses her of stalling, you know, buying time, which she is. But when Jacob comes back to the rescue, thanks to the street urchin, by the way, this orphan who...
super handy.
Was, yeah, just kind of leading Jacob along to where he needed to go. She retorts to this dying big boss who Jacob has killed as saying, thanks for buying me time. Should have killed me when you had the chance.
Like, ha ha. And, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. And then walks by with her very high heels, you know, snarky.
Right, right.
And yeah, there's also gratuitous butt shots in the comic as well.
Oh,
we got a crotch shot early on, but yep, you know, we have butt shots here too. Here's the butt shot. Here's why everyone came to this episode.
Yeah, that's why everyone's
more
here.
Ways than one.
I should use that in the thumbnail for the YouTube video.
You know, why not? Let's do it. I don't take us too seriously. So.
Oh man, we're gonna get comments on that one.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be clickbait because, I mean, we've actually showed it, right? So it's not one of those
thumbnails. It's part of the episode, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of the episode. So gratuitous butt shots in the comics about Miranda as well. And I'm not surprised by that, but at some level I am, I guess.
Right.
I don't know.
Like, yeah. Like, it's one thing for the game director to be like, hey, let's angle the shot from here. You know, like the animation directors or whoever, right? That's another to be like, yeah, well, you know what they do in the game with a shot like this? Butt shot. Let's do it.
That means we gotta draw her butt.
Guess we gotta draw a butt.
That's what the boss said.
Some tight pants on that butt.
I'm gonna public disclosure request the internal documents of correspondence between Mass Effect developers as it pertained to Miranda's.
Right, it was some direction. Sort of agreement that the comic book company had to sign, where, like, you know, one out of every five panels needs to have a Miranda butt on it.
it was an advertising quota. Yeah, yeah, yeah. well, then Jacob and Miranda escape. You know, they escape the clutches of this Batarian thug group that's actually led by a human, it seems. And along the way, they have saved some of the other human trafficked people, too. They're all humans.
Hooray!
And this was because of Jacob's insistence. Miranda calls it an unnecessary risk. I'm sure she didn't view Jacob coming back to save her as the unnecessary.
Of course not. But now that she's safe, let's get out of here. And Jacob, of course, being the better human of the two in this situation, is like, well, okay, no, we got to save the other people too. Yeah. Good job, Jacob.
So she refers to Jacob trying to help this orphan earlier in the story also as kind of like, she doesn't say exactly unnecessary risk, but like, you don't need to do that. Why are you doing that? Why are you wasting time?
Why are you being a goody-goody? Why are you being such a paladin?
Exactly. Yeah. And Jacob is a paladin. But she's basically saying it's, you know, you're only helping humanity if you focus on the mission of finding Shepard. And he's like, I thought we were supposed to help humanity. This is what I'm doing.
Right. Like, this is an obvious moment here where I can actually help people.
Tangibly
help humans.
Yeah. Which raises the question, is Jacob letting a good heart get in the way of the mission and therefore being inefficient at something that will truly save humanity?
Yeah.
Like Shepard.
Yeah.
Or is Miranda so laser focused on the mission that she's missing the opportunity to directly help human beings along the way?
You could argue both points. By putting yourself in more danger means you're less likely to actually save Shepard, which means in the long run, more people are going to die. I mean, you could justify it like that. A more empathetic personality would say, look at these people in front of us right here. They need help. They're suffering. We can't just walk away, even if that puts us in danger in the future stuff. I suppose somebody who is also a little bit more pragmatic would say, we have no idea about the sum total of all the events in the future and if that will add up to us being able to save Shepard. But we do know that there are less variables right here in front of us to save these people. So let's just at least do that first.
I think it's also a personal responsibility point, yeah, right? Like, yeah, if you don't end up helping Shepard or helping find Shepard because you did things along the way, then it's not as blamable on yourself, you know, as right. it is right. if someone literally comes to you clearly in need of help and you say no, even right. though it would have taken you not much time.
Right. Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why these kinds of things are moral dilemmas and they show up in stories and games. It's because some people side on one and some people side on the other, and both sides have their justifications. Like, it's not black and white.
No. However, I think if this kind of situation happened in real life, we would probably, a lot of people would view Miranda as just being an asshole.
Unless there was a news organization that was in cahoots with politicians and spread the other perspective a lot over like a week, and then conditioned people to believe something that is usually against their own beliefs, but they've now been convinced of it.
You know what's so funny? I know that you're not talking about Cerberus Daily News, but that is a perfect description of Cerberus Daily News.
This is how propaganda works. And one of the reasons why we draw connections between the real world and Mass Effect is because it exists in both. It's just real. This is how this stuff is.
Yeah. So Jacob still has reservations about the ethics of Cerberus and what exactly this mission, this greater mission of finding Shepard, will entail. He didn't like Miranda's cold attitude in the face of suffering. He didn't like the fact that Miranda's been so vague about a lot of details, but he's in it for Shepard. And he wants to question Miranda. He wants to question the elusive man. But first, they're stranded on this planet now because their ship has been blown up. And they need extraction, which they have to depend on Cerberus for.
Right.
So that's kind of where the comic ends. You know, it just ends right there. Yeah. And that's Mass Effect Foundation number 5 and 6. And they're separated into two. They're really part of the same story. But those are just two of the 8 comics.
Wow.
That Miranda appears in.
So buckle up. We're doing a 5-hour episode, friends.
We're not going to do a Tales of Tamriel with Mass Effect. Those can get a little long. I know. I've checked some of them out. But this appears, you know, she appears in 4 games in total and 8 comics, including one that's 93 pages long. Mass Effect Redemption.
Wow.
So there is so much information, and I wanted to include as much as I could into this episode in and of itself. But at some point, you know, you got to recognize that people are not going to listen,
right.
And we need to do a part 2.
Right. Yeah. It's better to do a part 2 and give it actual focus rather than just trying to rush through it. So, yeah. So definitely tune in next time because we'll have more about Miranda. And until then, we've got other stuff going on. Sam, I know you've got some other things.
That's right. I have Neutral Shepard, who has entered Mass Effect 3. I had a record-breaking time, land speed record, for how fast I finished Mass Effect 2. It's 15 hours.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, it's amazing. If you're apathetic and neutral and you don't really care one way or the other,
right,
and you don't do a whole lot, then Mass Effect 2 becomes a very short game.
Yeah. Also, Neutral Shepard showed up in our quiz show last week, too.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. I listened to the episode after the fact. I love the fact that so many people got it. Jerry, a.k.a. Neutral Shepard.
Jerry also looks like me, which is weird. My name's not Jerry.
You know what's kind of funny? I realized along the way, I think I was actually modeling him after Jerry in Rick and Morty.
Wait, what?
Like,
he doesn't look like Jerry from, I guess there's only so many options,
right,
in the game.
You know, there's so many options, and there's not really like a brown hair color. It's like dark brown and
it's
then auburn.
Darker. And then I've got like really dark hair. So, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. Anyway, I'm still streaming Neutral Shepard, and it's in Mass Effect 3 where there are no neutral options, which has created quite the conundrum for me. I never woke up Grunt, by the way, in Mass Effect 2. He's still in like a refrigerator somewhere.
Oh, no.
and so I never woke him up. So I wondered what that was going to be like in Mass Effect 3. I've never played 3 without Grunt. Well, he just doesn't show up. And
he's just frozen.
There's some other random NPC that, like, you don't know. His name's Dag. And he just shows up in Grunt's place and has this very ultra dramatic death scene that would have been sad had it been Grunt.
Right.
But for the player that doesn't know DAG, which is everyone, he just has this ultra dramatic death scene. It was hilarious. It was so funny watching this guy that I didn't know die. And so that's what you're missing. If you're missing my streams, I'll occasionally play, you know, melodramatic, terrible music like this.
Oh no, we're gonna get DMCA'd. Is that that's the guy with the? That's like
the recorder.
Yeah, it's just like recorder music. Yeah, yeah.
It's fair use. It's less than 30 seconds. That right. like right. three. But yeah, I'm going to be doing that a lot, I think, because there's going to be a lot of awful things that happen in Mass Effect 3 for Neutral Shepard just because he didn't care and he didn't get anyone's loyalty. He got Garrison Morden's.
A life lesson there for everybody. Care one way or the other is better than nothing.
Exactly. Yes. Care.
That's amazing. You guys know where my shows are, robotsradio.net, for all the different shows I do, all the other shows on the network, lots of awesome stuff if you're looking for more podcasts, so go check that out. Also, I've been doing music. I've had a little ad running on some of the shows just to be like, hey, check this out, I've got songs available. The new Star Gods, if you want to go check out the music I'm making, and I'm not 100% sure what genre to put it in yet. I think it's like post new wave revival with some shoegaze elements, and who knows. But if you're into,
I don't know what any of those words mean.
If you're into like alternative rock, I guess that's the biggest genre you could put it in, like the widest reach. Go check it out. Look up the new Star Gods. It's on Spotify, all sorts of other places, and it's already gotten over 400 plays in like the last week, the three songs on the CP. So go check that stuff out. I'd love to hear your thoughts on it. And we'll be back maybe next week. I'll be in Las Vegas for Elder Scrolls Online, but we're going to see if we can piece together something, or if maybe Sam can piece together something. And if not, we'll see you in 2 weeks, and have a wonderful time. Stay safe out there, everybody. We'll see you later.
Thanks for tuning in to the Mass Effect Lorecast. We'd love to hear your opinion and thoughts on the lore of Mass Effect. Reach out to us on Twitter at Mass Effect Cast, or check out the Robots Radio Discord. Also, you can send us an email at masseffectlorecast@gmail.com.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.